It has to come to an end sometime. We greatly, very greatly appreciate the attendance of God's dear people from most of the denominations, and we greatly appreciate the fact that have come to us personally or wrote to us and told us how they got helped and blessed and encouraged, and that's a great thing to me. The fact that they were encouraged encourages me. We've got some insulting letters, but we put them where we put the rest of the rubbish in the pile and totally ignore them. The poor blind little dominated people. And then I want to say that tomorrow morning we'll be cleaning the tent out at about 10 o'clock, and if a few brethren could come and help us to carry the seats out to the vans, we'll be very, very thankful. The tent itself won't come down until Tuesday. Now again, I must thank you all for your prayers. Prayers keeps me going. And I say without any hesitation, there's not a preacher in the north of Ireland, and there's a good lot of us for you, and there's a good lot of other preachers that don't meet with us, and there's no preacher in the north of Ireland needs the prayers of God's people as much as I need them, and there's nobody appreciates them so much. And all I can say is thank you, brethren and sisters, God bless you. This night which of the Lord will, or rather this day which of the Lord will, we hope to be in the big hall terms of the old part. Speak to believers at 4 o'clock and preach the gospel at 7 o'clock. If you can come, we'll be glad to see you. If you can't, be sure and pray for us. If I can help you with a conversation after the meeting's over tonight, I'll be very glad to see you so. It's my duty, and it's a pleasure to do my duty, whether you're a Christian that maybe got into debts, or maybe you're a sinner would like to be saved. Well, I'm your servant for Jesus' sake, only for Jesus' sake. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel by Matthew, the Gospel of the King and the Kingdom, chapter 25. Gospel of the King and the Kingdom. Mark's the Gospel of the servant man, do what you did immediately, is the key word of Mark's Gospel. Luke's Gospel is the Gospel of the Son of Man. Consequently, with the genealogy there. John's Gospel is the Gospel of the Eternal Son of the Blessed God. You have no genealogy there. Who can write the genealogy of the Eternal Son? Impossible. Well, you don't believe in the Eternal Son. Well, I don't believe in you. So you must be wrong. Now then, we want to read a few verses in Matthew chapter 25, please. And we begin to read at verse 1. Some lady left the number down behind. You can have it after the meeting home. The Gospel by Matthew then, please, chapter 25 and verse 1. Notice where you please the first word. It refers to a definite time, then. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took the lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us the new oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After the door was shut, came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. Verse 10 again, please. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the Jurgen, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I knew you not. Watch therefore, for you knew neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. God bless his holy word for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have read a portion of the Holy Scriptures spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Most in the meeting are very familiar with it, but we can't see it's thy word, it's settled in heaven, and it will never pass away. We want real help to handle this portion of Scripture tonight in the fear of God and in the light of heaven and hell. And O God, we want the power of the Holy Spirit behind what we say. Show that blessed Lord, blessing may result to all in the meeting, both saved and unsaved. And glory to him who alone is worthy of glory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore we plead with thee, don't allow us to say what we like. Don't let us allow us to wander up and down the Bible. But Lord, keep the things before us that are most important. And help us, Lord, not only to warn sinners, but to warn the tears, Lord, that they might be saved. So we commit ourselves to thee. We commit the audience to thee. We commit the dear people to you that will listen to us outside. Oh, God, save the people. It's no matter whether they're Catholics or Protestants. They need to be born again. And apart from it, Lord, there's no, absolutely no entering into the kingdom of heaven. We ask these things, our gracious Father, giving a sincere thanks for thy goodness to us in the meeting from the first day on the night, and asking the Lord to make this the best of all. For our Lord Jesus Christ, it we ask. Amen. I'm not going to cover any unnecessary ground tonight. I'm going to get down to the subject right away, and I hope by the help and grace of God to keep on it right to the end of the meeting. I'm not going to cover the ground that the gospel preacher usually covers when he handles the story of the ten virgins. But I am going to emphasize three things with all the power that I possess. And if I do that, then I'm emphasizing something that I'm fully persuaded about. Now, before coming to those three things that's on my mind, I want to say definitely to you all, it's just two classes of people, either wise or the unwise. And of course, you theologians, you know, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm not giving you an interpretation of the passage. There's no coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, the gospel of the King. And I would say this, then, that in Matthew chapter 24, you have undoubtedly the tribulation from beginning to end. Then, when the tribulation's over, and that's the chapter where it says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, has nothing at all to do with God's salvation. Has nothing at all to do with you or me, and has nothing at all with you to get into heaven. Then what does it mean by saying, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved? Well, the second of the chapter will tell you that. The reading of the chapter will tell you that it's Jewish from beginning to end. It takes in the tribulation which will take part after the Lord has come and after the church has gone home. And it's only they that endure to the end during the tribulation will pass out into the millennium reign and us. That's the meaning of it. Got nothing at all to do with you and me who live now, and people who tell you you'll get saved if you endure to the end. Then they mean well, and they mean well, but they're talking a lot of trash. It's not there at all. We don't get saved for enduring, we get saved for believing. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now the things, the three things I want to emphasize, my brethren, is about the five foolish virgins. There's three good things about them. But surely there's not good things about foolish virgins, to be sure. How the broad road to hell is packed with good people. There'll be no good people in heaven. There's no salvation for them. There's no good news in the Bible for good people. Where's there somebody that's monstrous? Well, which line finished, if you please? Christ died for the ungodly, Romans 5:6.
and for sinners, Romans 5:8, and for our sins, 1 Corinthians 16:3, for rebel sinners, Romans 5:9, 10, 11, for the lost sinner, Luke 19:10, and for the unbeliever that's condemned already, and if it's done to be dies in his sins, that's the person that Christ died for, and nobody else. While God so loved the world, thank God he does, please remember that are whosoever there. And it's good to whosoever that believeth the message of the gospel will be saved, and not the whole world in him, not a nonsense to talk about the world will be saved. Who's the people outside of heaven? Go on Matthew 25. Who's the people at the great white throne of Revelation 20:11-15? Use only common sense. Use a little bit of intelligence. No, he's a believer not will be done. That's your Bible. Mark 16:16. I quoted that tonight already. Well then, there's three bad things about the wise virgins, but I'm not going to take time speaking about the bad things of the wise virgins. Another reason is because the devil has got a lot of gutty mouth people ridiculing the people of God, and I'm not going to do that. And if you do that, you're a gutty mouth man, and you're a gutty mouth woman, or you may be a believer. Oh no, you have three bad things except bad company, you shouldn't have done that. And not only that, they were sound asleep and the bridegroom was coming, and not only that, but the little lamp was gone out, and the world can live in the dark and go to hell for all they care. Are you sure that you have lamps shining? Are you sure that you are not asleep, friend? And am I, you and I, sure that we're wide awake to the fact that the Christ of God might come from heaven tonight? And in the twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 50, the empty tank will be emptied with everybody that's born again, and you unsaved people will be left sitting on the seat, left for common judgment, left for the sinner's doom, left for your life is darkened into a solemn gloom, left for in fair heaven, but the opposing breeze, weeping and wailing only for a long eternity. Now, I want to speak about three good things about the foolish virgin, and good things. But Matthew, why there's good things about the foolish virgin, the door is shut around the outside. You can be the best man or woman in the city of Belfast, but without the oil. If your lamp can be put out, come for me, Johnny, what is the oil? That is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God, as most people know. And when a man or woman say to them in John 3:5 now, he's born into God's family by the Holy Ghost. And consequently, he's born by the Holy Ghost. He must have the Holy Ghost, Romans 8. And led by the Spirit of God, again, Romans 8. And sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 1:13. And guided into all truth, John 16:22. You see, guided into all truth, not some truth. If you were saved and going to heaven, and you're just satisfied with a little bit of truth and let the ghost go there, I want to tell you right here and now, get it. Any selfish believer. For my dear friend, if God has saved you from a life of sin and a wicked, ungodly world and a lost sinner's hell, still the best is in which can you live, the Son of God. See, there are three good things about the fools. Don't forget it's the fools I'm speaking about. The three good things about them is this. That the first of all, a good character. And with a good character, get it ever. No, but there's nothing only else than a good character. It will shut you out to heaven. A good character is a good thing. If you've got it, thank God for it. It's good for your body. It's good for your brain. It's good for your pocket. It's good for your wife. It's good for your family. It's good for your husband. A good character is a good thing, but it'll not get you a hope. And the man that says you have to do your work to get to heaven, he's talking about an answer. You don't know what he's talking about. That is so far as the gospel is concerned. Good books in the Bible all follow salvation, never before. So you see, he had a good character. I knew that's a good thing. There was a poor woman come to me one morning while I lay and I had my breakfast over, and she said she wanted to see me. God forgive us, you want to know that the devil missed an option here. Well, I went into the room, and I seen her, and I seen her, I knew perfectly well that something was wrong. Said she, sir, I don't want any socks. And she said, yeah, I've been attending your meetings in the tent, had a good idea what was coming next. And she said, I'm going to get a job up the road here, and I'll tell you where. Well, said I, that's good, I hope you say. Oh, but you see, the manager won't give me without a reference from a clergyman. And said, see, I have notes from a come to you. Said, I'm a good woman. How in God's name could I give you a reference? I don't know you. I've never seen you in my life until now. Said, I couldn't possibly give you a reference because it wouldn't be honest. And how do I know what who you are or what you are? But I'll give her some money and give her something else, and I'm praying when the cook comes to our house, she'll have to pray. I don't care where they're catching her from them. And so I'll raise your hand. Would you give it up? No, I couldn't. Ah, but listen, she was a bad character, I found out afterwards. But these are foolish sergeants had a good character. Why then did they get hit in the court in the world? Symbolizes the Holy Ghost. And you know, are you? You're not a Christian, you're not going to heaven. And it's hard to think about being saved by the grace of God and not having the Holy Spirit. It is a contradiction to the Scripture. For I've already quoted you from John 3:5. We were born by the Spirit into the family of God. And if we're born by the Spirit, then we're bound to have the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Spirit are different things. I know that, but I'm not concerned about that just now. Oh, they had a good character. My dear, I seen a person getting saved here a few days ago. I'm certain he had a good character. They are a splendid character. They were all as desirable and commendable. They talked about the church that they went to, and they talked about being baptized. Of course, thinking it's not baptism, not at all. It's only a figment of Rome. And they talked about being confirmed. Not confirmed in your faith. My dear friend, you can have all that. But take a tender from an Irishman. If you die with that, you lose your soul as soon as you die. You need more of that. And what do you need? What the Christ said you need? You must be born again. And some good body that knows nothing will tell me, you know, that's only once in your Bible. Well, you're a Christian of a Bible. I'm going to tell you that you know nothing about it. Because my Bible is just the same as yours. It's a little bit bigger, and I'm sure it's a little bit dirtier, and I'm sure it's a bit torn as well, but it refers to the new back 16 times, moreover. Supposing it only refers to it once, if the Holy Ghost refers to it once, is that not sufficient? Call yourself a Protestant, you don't believe you're a Bible. You're a stress to the man and woman as well. Now, I've been asked to do this, and I'm going to do it now, will you please, because it's going to go all over Canada and America, and tell you a few little lines about my Bible. Oh, this is a great Bible of mine. It's just the same as yours, you know. And there are 66 books in it, and 1,189 chapters, and 3,566,480 letters. You can count them after you get the supper. But, my dear friend, I want to tell you a few things about it. Though the covers are worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, and yet this book, worn and old, is more precious than gold. It can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look on this precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from the Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide to the friend by my side. It can lighten and brighten my way, and each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Through this book I will cling, of its what I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine, for I cannot despair, though surrounded with care, while possessing this blessing divine. That's your Bible, that's settled in heaven, Psalm 119:89, and go to damn the man doesn't believe it. I'll come back to our chapter. I've got that off my head now. And come back to our chapter, if you please. And these five virgins that will shut up heaven, they're a good character. My, that's a good thing. How do you know they're a good character? The Bible says that they were virgins. And virgins indicate the fact that they were morally pure. A thing that was very scarce in Jerusalem then, and a thing that's very scarce in Palestine still. But these five virgins, they were morally pure. They weren't immoral. Consequently, they were people of a good character. Ah, but the good character didn't get them into heaven. And when the door was shut, the good character left them on the outside. What have you got to take you to heaven, my dear friend, tonight in the tent? That's what you come here for, and that's what I'm here for to ask you. What have you got to take you to heaven tonight? The Roman fella didn't ask you that. I'm asking you that. What have you got to take you to heaven, and what have you got to take you out of hell? Men, use your intelligence. You've got as much as I have. Woman, use your brains of idea on the street tonight. With a life of sin behind me, and the greatest crime that you could commit, and your fools to believe on the Son of God, that's what the shipyard heaven that will damn you for eternity. What have you got to take you to heaven tonight, my dear friends in the Tanzanite? You that have attended so faithfully, you that have listened so respectfully and so reverently, those who I know right well, you don't intend to lose your soul, but that's just the way you're going. And my friend, the devil's making fool of you, and he's keeping you on the Broadway, and you're entertained with a singing master, and you're looking at him at the end of the road. Now then, come back to our party, Jimmy. They had a good charity. I repeat again, that's a good thing. But that will never take you to heaven. If it did, then tell me, why did Christ die? Oh no, they were on the outside with a good character. Look at it again, if you please. They not only had a good character, they had good company. Now, that's a good thing. There's nothing fills hell like bad company. What kind of company do you take? You said it's none of my business. In a sense it isn't, and another sense it is. But I want that you tell me, friend, tonight, there's nothing in damn your soul like bad company. Now, come to a quotation from the Epistle to Jude, please. There's only one chapter in it, and I'll quote you verse 11. Don't want the them for a gone. The gone, the place, that's the way to go. The God in the way of Cain. What way did he went to hell do the best he can? He was the first bloodless religious in the universe. And he was the first murderer as well. He was always religion. He murdered his brother. And he went down to hell. Where do you get that? Oh, I get that in the Bible. Where do you get the rest of it in? Did it say Cain went to hell? Most decidedly it did. Could you imagine God saying to the Holy Ghost to believers, woe unto them? Never. Woe unto them for have gone in the way of Cain. Now you go back to Genesis chapter 4. And listen, friends, with all his religion, and with all his good sacrifice, and with all his good intention, John says, the Holy Spirit said in 1 John 3, 10, all things are a devil. Woe unto them, you see, after first things, they've gone. They've gone, and that's the way sinners go. They come in from the country, various places, and my dear, think when it comes to Belfast, it's great. I bet you didn't know you were coming to a very wicked city that's full of sin and sinners. That you didn't know that. They warned, dear friend, and mind your company. Now, look this again, if you please. Not only have they a good charity, but it's a good company, man. That's a good thing. But a good company won't take you to heaven. It's a good thing, I appeal. Again, for I've had a good dose of bad company before God sent me, though I'm very thankful to God I never speak to the sins that the rising generation is boasting indulging in just now. I never was drunk in my life, I never was that big a fool, I never speak to anything worse than that. Never, by the grace of God, have I had to live as some young men that I kept properly would live. I certainly wouldn't be here tonight, for my body would be morally rotten, but I never touched that. Glory to God. I'm very thankful that we can have a good company. We can live in charity and be down for eternity. We need more than that, man. You need more than that, woman. You need more than that, you dear people. You need more than that, you people outside. You don't intend to go to hell. I know you don't. You intend to go to heaven. That's good, but when you go to start, you never get to a place if you don't stand for it. You never would have been the tempted if you hadn't started for it. And if you intend to go to heaven, let me ask you kindly, when you going to start? To somebody I don't know, why your Bible says both in the Old Testament and the New, that now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, and the Paul's preaching from Isaiah chapter 49. Again, I'm going to ask you kindly, friend, because I love your soul, and if I don't love your soul, I'm a profound hypocrite from being on the platform, for the preacher that doesn't love the souls of men, God never said. Now then, notice these five virgins, the virgins still. Ah, but listen, there were virgins after the door was shut. You see, they retained the character, but the character didn't get me. Now they kept good company. My, that's a good thing. Oh, what's your company, young man? Oh, what's your company, young woman? I could tell you a story about this that I've known from experience in Belfast and elsewhere, but I forbear. But I'm going to emphasize this. What's your company? What kind of company do you keep? Are they helping you to Christ? Are they helping you to heaven? Are they helping you to God's way of salvation? No, they're not helping you to hell. It's no matter who they are, or what they are, or how good they are, or how religious they may be. Religion is bad. There's no Christ in it, and there's no salvation in it. And you need more than that, and you need what the Spirit of God says you need. And Matthew 18:3, accept to be converted. Converted means convert round. And become as little children. A man told me that long ago, you know, Mr. Knox, I thought you had more wisdom than us. So we simple people believe the Bible. I said you're perfectly right. And it's only simple people who go to be in heaven. Now let me finish with us. Except you become back and turn right round and become little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. A little child and believe all you tell it. And I believe all the Bible tells me. Every word of it. If you are too wise, my good man, you can go to hell. And if you are too wise, my good lady, don't forget you will go to hell too. It's just the simple people that believe the message, and the message is so simple that a lot of people fall over it. Believe on the Son and have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that come up to me, I will in no wise cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Be saved. It's not that easy, that's your Bible. You have anything to it, and you'll shut yourself out of heaven. Now John 10 and 9, if you please, I am the door. One door, the door, there's no but doors to heaven. I am the door, it's Christ, mind you. It's not where you go on Sunday. It's not where I go on Sunday. It comes for absolutely nothing so far as God's salvation is concerned. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, that's not getting up again the door. These five wise wagons, these five foolish wagons didn't enter in. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The word man's not there. Enter in, man or woman, he shall be saved. And that's John 10, 9. Do you believe that message? Did he ever get in through the door? No. Tell me and tell me, Gareth. Oh, I'll wait a little longer, for the world is nice and bright. Well, I want to tell you, you're clear eyesight. If you can say the world's nice and bright, for I want to tell you, it's weakened with iniquity, and never was as bad as it is just now. Oh, you say, Mr. Knox, what about Sodom and Gomorrah, Tyre and Sidon? They sinned against God in the dark. You sinned against God in the light of the Holy Scripture. That's your responsibility. So you see these foolish actions, but why were the foolish that they were in the lamp? Notice, my brethren, and be careful when you're preaching, if you please, and I try and do the same. It does not say that the wise took oil in the lamps. Oh, you're making a mistake. Not yet, now. When I make a mistake, I'll be forever obliged to you. Let me know. It does not say that the wise took oil in the lamps. It's already that today. When too big a hurry, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what it says. The wise took oil in the vessels with the lamps. Look at that. So that when the lamp burned down, they could replenish it again from the oil in the vessel. But it doesn't say the fools took the oil in the vessel, for they had no vessel, but they carry the oil. No, what's the vessel? A divine capacity that you and I got whenever God saved us. You can call it a divine wicked if you like, for Peter chapter 2, and you'll be all right. But my dear friend, the wise had oil in the vessels with a lamp, so that when the lamp burned low, they could replenish it again. And listen, you Christians, many a time no lamp burned low. What did you do then? Oh, you replenish it again. Where? At the throne of grace with your heavenly Father and the good old Bible. That's what you did. But then the fools had neither oil nor a vessel to carry the oil. And whatever little they had in the lamp, their lamps are going out. When it is going out, and they need it most of all. Your religion's all right when the sun's shining on you. Your religion and profession's all right whenever you're healthy and alive and well and everything's going well with you. But how will it come when you come to die? What have you got then, man? What have you got then, woman? Now you see, they had a good character, and then they're keeping good company. Oh yes, that's a good thing. You see, we kept company with the believers, or with the people that had oil, the wise people. Ah, but there was a time come when they were separated from the good company. Oh yes, and the good company went in, and they're on the left-hand side, and I want to tell you, kindly friend, you have to be separated from your company. That is, if they're Christians. Of course, they can be as good as they like. If they're not born again, they'll never see heaven. Wouldn't Nicodemus a good man to be sure he was gone free? What did he need? He needed to be born again. And my dear friend, wasn't Cornelius a good man? Ask him most assuredly he was. What did he need, son, for the fisherman? He'll tell you how to get saved. And so on. I needn't quote any more. Oh, they kept good company. And it's quite impossible. They were proud of the country, but wait a bit. They talked to the company. They walked with the company. They slept with the company, and maybe you sleep with a believer. And if the Lord comes tonight, friend, and you'll be left behind, and all that will be left of your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, or your brother, or your sister, will have been the tools they used to wear, and all that the preachmen could find in Acts chapter 12, after Peter had left the prison, was the chains they used to wear, and all you poor sinners will find a new home, and your father and mother has gone to heaven, the tools they used to wear. We can get them, we can have the money, we can have a home, we can have a bank in the house, we can have a farm, we can have a good life with hell. At the end of it, have hell for eternity. And tonight, to your friend, it's either turn or burn.
There's only the two things for us, and you take that kindly for me, because I love your soul, and if you die and lose your soul, you'll never be able to tell the Lord that I didn't warn you, for I did that every night, and I'm doing it tonight again. But I want to preach the gospel for a little while, but not just yet. I said they had three good things. I only quoted two. First of all, they had a good character. Secondly, they kept good company. And that's very good. But a good object in life. You meet people going about Belfast, I meet them every day, going past the tent, and they've no object in life at all. It's just come day and go day and go on Sunday, Sunday, and they've no object in life at all. And my dear friend, there they are. But my friend, these foolish virgins are a good object in life. And my friend, if you were born again, you ought to have a good object in life. And what is that object? Living for Christ? Who can all stop from you? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Matthew, that's given to believers. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that everybody in Belfast running after. What do we eat? Well, you never dealt with hunger yet. What will we drink? You never dealt with thirst yet. And what will we wear? And while you're running after, what will we eat? And what will we drink? And what will we wear? And the devil's leading your brain down to a lost sinner's hell. Now, my dear friend, be it a good object in living. What's an object? Oh! And we're good company, and we're going to meet the bridegroom, and consequently, let's start off to meet the bridegroom. Ah, but listen, friend. Was the difference with each, not only oil, but the difference was in the inside. Some had oil in the lamps and the other had not. And what's the difference between the saved people and the unsaved in the tent tonight? I couldn't just tell you the difference from the platform where there's maybe 1,000 people. Ah, but the living God knows the offense. The difference is in the inside. Now when you come to Matthew 7, you've got two buildings, two houses. One built on sand, one built on the rock. Both houses may appear exactly the same. Indeed, the one built on the sand may appear to be the best, but it's on the sand. And it came down the difference in the foundation where nobody you can see. Then there's two trees, and where's the difference at the roots? Nobody can see, and because there was no root, there was no fruit. My dear friend, I can't see your heart, and I don't want to see it, but I have to tell you kindly, because I love your soul. If you have never been born of the Holy Spirit of God, John 3:5, then to use the type, you have no oil in your vessel, and you have nothing to meet God with, absolutely nothing. What is an object they're going to meet the bridegroom? Where's your oil? Oh well, did you notice it says our lamps are gone out in the text? Did you notice it says they're going out in the margin? Now you see, brethren, it's quite plain they were bound to be lit or lighted. They use that a lot, and they were bound to be lighted. But don't you know, at least us company people do, us people that know nothing, you know perfectly well that an old ginny lamp will burn without any oil for a little while. There's enough oil in it to keep it burning, but it is hot. That's where these were. Aye, and you may have enough religion keeping you going, but you'll find yourself outside of heaven's door, and outside of heaven's door forever. Because you were a bad man, no. Because you were a bad woman, no. Because you were a wicked person, no. Because you had no oil, you had no Holy Ghost. And with all your goodness, let these foolish virgins that had a good character, that kept good company, that had a good object in life, and the door was shut, they were outside forever. Oh, sinner, notice it. They were right at the very door, Matthew 7 says, and knocked at the door. And they had a lot of good things about them, but they're outside the door. Wait till you hear them speaking outside the door. Lord, Lord, open to us.
We thought in your states that we surely good to be any amount of Bible teachers in hell and preachers as well. Why? Because of them we were born again. Teaching and preaching won't take you to heaven. No, but a whole lot of it will send you to hell, for it's not sound. But notice, my dear friend, it wasn't that at all. It was just this one thing. Why were they shut out of the heaven? They had no oil in the lamp, and the lamp went out when they needed it most. Your religion may please you all right when everything's going well, and you'll tell me I'm just as good as I am. A lady told that, well, if you're as good as me, friend, I would advise you kindly to bid heaven goodbye forever. You'll never see it if you're as good as me. I've just got enough goodness to damn my soul, but I'm to go to heaven to be sure I am. But my goodness had absolutely nothing to do with it. What has to do with it? The Christ has to do with it. You miss Christ, son, and you're a lost soul forever. Now you see, the difference was in the inside. You couldn't see the difference. Look at them lying together. Look at them sleeping together. They not only got lamps, they're dressed the same way. The virgins dressed as virgins, so that everybody would know they were virgins. And the harlots dressed as harlots, so that everybody would know they were harlots. And the harlots in Palestine, and in some parts of India, marked by the painted lips. It's not oh, friend in the meeting tonight, you can have a whole lot of good qualities about you, but heaven you'll never see. Notice you please, they were right at the door. Now come back to Matthew 7. We taught in your state, yes. God pity Belfast in the judgment day. Sometimes I take a walk up round the hills at Ligonier or Castlereagh Hills, and I look down over the city, and Belfast just sits in a bog hole. You have to come down into it, no matter what way you come to it, except you come along the shore road, and there's all the lights blazing up to heaven. And I say, well, I lived in you for over 50 years. I visited you. I prayed for you. I preached to you. And I watched for you. And farewell forever. God pity Belfast in the day of judgment. And with all its privileges, he for down and tire and tighten. Matthew, Isaiah, chapter 23. How far did these foolish virgins go right to the very door of heaven? But you know, my old mother used to sing to me, someone will call and will not be heard. Someone will knock when the door is barred. Someone will fail and the saints to hold. Shall you, shall I? Let me pause for a little while, friend, in God's precious name. Maybe I'd better talk to you instead of preaching. When did you get saved, if you're saved? Where were you when it happened? How did you get it? What did you get? Did it change your life? Did it make you a new creature in Christ? No. Well, friend, you haven't got anything. Just a lot of religion. A nice, respectable profession. But absolutely nothing in it. And it may take you to the door of heaven. But, Matthew, there's nobody dropped so deep into the lake of fire as the people that fall from the door of heaven. Let me repeat it again. Someone will call and will not be heard. Someone will knock when the door is barred. Someone will fail of the saints award. Shall you, shall I? Now in Matthew 7, the knock at the door. There's no knocking in Matthew chapter 25, but you see that at the very door. And he said, the door open. Oh, no, said the Lord. I won't open the door to you. For why? Because you didn't go to church another church. You can go to church all your life and lose your soul, or the mission hall, or the gospel. Oh, no, that's not mentioned here at all. The one essential thing for to get to heaven is to know Christ as your own personal Savior. They didn't know that, and consequently, I never knew you apart from it. Listen again, you fallen away people. It doesn't say I didn't know you and you left me. Never. I said, I never knew you. For once saved, you're always saved. And you put in Christ, Ephesians 2:13, for me and us to God. And you put in Christ for no condemnation, Romans 8:1. And you put in Christ for a changed life, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you haven't got that, then, dear friend, you haven't got anything. But when you come to Colossians 1:27, what do you find? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, if Christ is in me and in every believer, and I'm in Christ, then tell me, how can I ever be lost? It's monstrous. It's an insult to the finished work of Christ on the cross, and it's an insult to the saving grace of God, and it's an insult to the intermediary work of Christ at God's right hand tonight. That's it. Now we come back to our chapter, please, Matthew chapter 25. Oh, yes. They may have lived together. I don't know. And I don't work on speculation. But I'm sure of this. They walked together. Didn't they go forth to meet the bridegroom? The bridegroom Christ, to be sure. And notice again, they talked together. There was a lie, one said. The other said, we have no. What do you mean? Of course, this is not a gospel message. You all know that, Dylan. Why? Because the gospel's not sold. And again, you can't buy the gospel, no matter how much money you've got. For Isaiah 55 says, it's without money and without price. Mark the two things. The two different things. Because you have money, and you can have millionaire and multi-millionaire, but you never have the price. For the price is the blood of Christ. And God, the man that despises the blood, God is better than the man. I don't care who he is. He didn't call him by what name he is. He just ascended the king. Oh, yes, they did all that. But when the door was shut, they separated from ever. Never to meet again. What divided them? The door. What divided saints and sinners in the meeting of the door? What door? John said, and I. You're a good, respectable man or woman, maybe far more than some believers. But that's when they'll not take it to heaven. No, no. I am the door, Methodist. There's only one door to heaven. You religion and my religion, everybody else's religion, is not worth anything. The thing is, did you get Christ? You didn't, then you've got nothing, friend. Christ is the door to heaven for all, who seeks through its salvation, the rich, the poor, the great, the small, every tribe and nation. Twice over in the book of Proverbs, it reads, the rich and the poor meet together. Where do they meet? The rich and the poor meet together. Where do they meet? Oh, they meet in life, to be sure they do. Though they may not keep company, but they meet in life. And they meet in death, too. After that, they meet in death. Why? Because the great God never asked you what you were richer for. And I hope never, none of you will ever be cremated, because cremation is a splendid step back to the paganism. Oh, no. Now, look at you, please. Where did they meet? How about they meet again, the rich and the poor, at the great white throne, Revelation 20, 11 to 15. The rich and the poor meet together, they sure do, at the great white throne. Therefore to see the sins in the books, and to see the names not in the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the lake of fire that never burns out, dear friend. The next thing I want you to notice, there's another place where the rich and poor meet, glory to God, and there's quite a lot of them. They meet at the cross. I thank God they do. And the rich and the poor both get saved by the grace of God, but not many rich. And what authority have you for that, the good old Bible? Oh, so somebody get everything else from the Bible, and where in God's name do you want to get it? I'm not going to go anything inferior. If it's in the Bible, that's all I want. And I stick to it, and I believe it, and I love it. And my friend, I'm thankful to God for it. Do you get anything in the Bible that says there's not been many rich people in heaven? Well, I said it, didn't I? But notice that I didn't say not any. Oh, no, there's a name, there's an M in front of it, and it says not many, but yes, where's it in the Bible? Are you trying to evade the question? Oh, no, I face up to the question already, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, for you know your calling, brethren, Paul always wrote to the brethren, and as you know your calling, brethren, how that not many might, not many great, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the weak things of that, and not only the weak, but the things that are not, that are the foolish, and the things that are not, the things that doesn't exist, to bring to naught the things that are not many. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and consequently, that's my evidence for saying there'll not be many big people in heaven, but I did not say there'll not be any, but I did say there'll not be many, because my Bible says that. And my friend, you know from experience, without going to a lot of multimillionaires in America or any other place, there's very, very few of them know anything at all about God's salvation. As a matter of fact, they've no time for it. So the Bible says not many, and of course the Bible's right every time. And I'll come back to our text, and then I'll quote you a few verses of the scripture that you might get saved. Oh, these 10 virgins are separated forever. My, I've seen some sad separation in my life. I'm remembering now of a man I buried away over 30 years ago in the city of Belfast. He was a Christian, and I was burying the dear man. But he had a wild son, nearly everybody has. He had a wild son, Matthew, you believers.
Now Adam and Eve reared a Cain and a man's in hell tonight. Abram reared an Ishmael. Jacob reared another. David reared an Absalom. Samuel the great man reared two blackguards of sons. So did he die. Never did he kill the families of God's people. Your own's not in heaven. They can never, never will be. Therefore, mind your mouth, if you please, and try and bridle your tongue. Now you see, these 10 virgins are separated forever, never to meet again. Now the young soldier I'm referring to, he got passionate leave to come home to see his mother. We buried her out in the drum. And I remember that dear young man, I had a good idea that he would left to be saved. He's loved his mother, and if you don't, you're only a scamp. I don't care who you are. And I'll tell you another thing. If we gathered round the grave, and I was speaking at the grave, but I want to tell you, I always preach the gospel at the graveyard. I don't talk a lot about the dead people. If they live, Christ, they don't need my commendation. And if they didn't live, Christ, my commendation's no use. I speak to the living people that they'll soon be dead. If you don't want that, don't ask me to go to the funeral. Same thing with a wedding. If I marry a pair, you're going to get 5 minutes of gospel. Don't let that go sound when they go near somebody else. Why? Because, listen, there's only 2 seasons for preaching the gospel. And what is it? In season and out of season. But man, he listened to the preaching all right until the sods began to fall on his mother's coffin. And then he went over to the coffin. I'll never forget it. And he cried, "Mother, Mother, won't you speak to me?" "No, friend, she's silent forever. And she's gone to heaven, and she left that poor boy behind, unsaved then, and never seen him after that. And you, Mother, will be in heaven, young man, and tonight you sit in your sins, and there's nothing more than the Spirit of God never seems to trouble you. And the possibility is left forever in your mortal head already. I'm not saying you are, but you may be. You may be. Because in Ephesians 4, you read about people that's without feeling. They don't feel anything. And they never will feel anything under the feel the judgment of God. They are past feeling. So, I've shown you all I want to show you about these 10 virgins tonight. I'm going to tell you how you can get saved. I'm going to tell you how you get saved from the Bible. I'm going to give you a chapter and verse. Why would you? I don't believe that way. You can go to hell and you don't. Blessed God will be able to fill heaven without you. He's not obligated to you and me. That means he's not under any compliment to you. If you believe on the Son, he'll save you. And if you don't, he'll damn you. And that's the whole of it. Remember, God's not under any compliment to you or me. He's provided salvation for us. And he offered to you the free gift, John 4, Romans 6, Titus 3. And he wants you to take the gift. And if you take the gift, you'll get God's salvation. If you don't take the gift, then you'll get the wages, Romans 6, 23. What is the wages? It's not right to say that the wages of sin is eternal death. No, the wages of sin is physical death. But the penalty of sin is a lake of fire forever and forever. 2 different things. That's where you'll go tonight, young man. That's where you'll go tonight, young woman. And this is my last meeting, and I may never see you again. Well, I make you at the great white throne for believers. Will be on the great white throne. You'll not be on it. No. But they'll be on it with the Christ. Where do you get that? 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know, says the Apostle Paul, that the saints shall judge the world? And who's the saint? Sinners saved by the grace of God and nobody else. Are they going to judge the world yet under the jurisdiction of Christ? They'll bow acquiesce to his divine judgment. And my dear friend, it's possible. It's possible that some of you in the tent tonight who rejected Christ and died that way will be at the great white throne and Christ the judge. And of course you'll be with Christ. And oh, sinner, will you take one last withering look at us as a man that didn't warn you your danger or tell you how to get saved before you drop into the lake for iron? Oh, you now salvation sworn never to come back anymore. Oh, dreadful thought in hell to burn, never to come back anymore. No, never to come back anymore. Would you like to be saved, friend? Yes. Would you like to be saved now? Yes. And why do you want to be saved? Because I'm going to hell. And what do you think God wants you to be saved? Oh, he wants you to believe on the stone. That's quite right. Why do you not do it? Oh, to someone trying to do it. Surely you're not going to insult the holy God by saying you're trying to believe on him. Why, if I told you a thing, I'd venture to say most of you would believe it.
I don't say, but my friend, why do they not believe what God says? If God says a thing, it's final, and he's rather probably final. Mind that, dear friend, and I'll tell you a few things God says, how you can get saved just as you sit on the seat tonight. We'll even come up to a penitent form. We haven't got one, but if you come up, I'll be glad to sit beside. And don't raise hands, dear please, for I neither count hands nor heads. If other men do that, that's my their affair, not mine, but this is my affair here. I sow the seed, and I let the living God do the saving, and if he does it, he'll be sure that it's well done. Now a few verses of scripture. And why wouldn't I go home and sleep sound tonight? No, I wouldn't sleep for a good while. I'd be too glad and thankful to God, and another soul sing tonight. Now here's a stately writer, left Southampton a long time ago, and it's bound for New Zealand, and it got right to the very mouth of Sydney Harbour. But when it got a mouth to Sydney Harbour, it went right down with all hands. Now notice, if you please, the people on the harbour walls waiting for to meet their loved ones, and the people on the boat are on deck ready to go off to meet their loved ones. Ah, so near but so far. And neither American engineers, nor Australian engineers, nor British engineers ever could find out what happened, but she went down, she went down, she went down. Now the lifeboat went out, thank God for the lifeboatmen. Thank God for the fireman, and thank God for the policeman, bar and all of some of them, for my friend, he couldn't live without them. But mark you well, my dear friend, whenever the dead, the people are floating about on the sea in Sydney Harbour, the lifeboat goes out. Man, God bless those men that risk their life to save people they know nothing about. Now, there's a very few men, that was in charge of skipper of one of these lifeboats. And every time they picked a body up and threw it into the boat, he would put a megaphone to his voice and shout, "Hands up!" To hear that out nicely. And they picked up another one and he threw it in and he'd shout, "Hands up!" Why did he do that? He wanted the dear people on the dock wall for to hear, "There's another one saved," and they might think, "That's my wife, that's my husband, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my father, that's my mother," and so this Coxswain was his name. And then, as soon as he threw a body into the lifeboat, he shouted, "Another one saved." Oh, friend, if I could see another one saved in the tent tonight. Another one saved. Saved from a godless world. Saved from a life of sin. Saved from a lost sinner's hell. Saved for heaven. Now we're to finish John 10, 28. Quick a few verses of the scripture now. Maybe if you drive along Coatham and you're not saved, you'll go to hell with the Bible ringing in your ear. Now, the other man ever told you that, sir, he didn't. No, 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 not at all. He didn't do that. Try to make. Verily, verily. That's what they call a double affirmative. It means truly, truly. It means it must be, it must be. Or, yes, that's what it means. What is it? Verily, verily. That's the certainty of it. I lack the authority of it. This is not what some great big buddy said. No matter whether they're politicians or